Okay, good morning, everybody. So I want to share with you a Varda on the Parsha that I came up with about a year ago. And I said it in Morasha this week, but I didn't develop it fully. So I want to try to develop it just a little bit more fully than I did in Morasha this this past week. As Rav Sacks noted yesterday, one of the most difficult philosophically troubling sections of the Torah is the description of Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock instead of talking to the rock. It cost Moshe Rabbeinu's life stream of going into Eretz Yisrael, of bringing Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and it's difficult to not only understand what he did wrong exactly, but even how he could get something wrong. You know, a command from a Kodesh Baruch Hu wrong. After all, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu could get something wrong, then that, you know, who's to say what else he got wrong? And that would be awful. I mean, we have our whole Emunah, one of the Ikarei Emunah, is that the Torah is as Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted it to us, and it's the actual Devar Hashem. So there are dozens and dozens, as Rav Sacks noted yesterday in Shari Aaron, 25 different explanations of what exactly happened in this Maisa. The Or Chaim HaKadosh says that there are 10 different, has 10 different suggestions. However, the Rambam in Shmona Prakim Perek Dalid writes his own interpretation. He says that the Aveira was in Moshe Rabbeinu losing the treasured Shvil HaZahav. He says it was in losing that equilibrium that the Rambam so famously describes that a person has to maintain. You know, the Rambam says a person shouldn't be to this or to that. A person is supposed to be somewhere in the middle. In terms of midos, of course, that means. It doesn't mean in terms of, Avodas Hashem, that, you know, don't be too much of a servant of Hashem. No, you're supposed to be very much a servant of Hashem. But it means in terms of midos, in terms of, you know, a person's demeanor. That so he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Echad min hakitzvos, mimalus hamidus, hamidos via savlanus. That Moshe Rabbeinu went to one extreme more than the other in that he lost patience. A person is supposed to maintain dignity and patience, and Moshe Rabbeinu lost patience. He expressed too much ragzanus, too much agitation and anger, when he should have kept his cool a little bit more. And that's in the expression Shimuna Hamorim, just to even speak that way. Shimuna Hamorim is an expression of anger at the people. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu really did wrong, says the Rambam. Now, on the one hand, okay, I mean, it's an explanation as good as any explanation, I guess, right? Meaning, you have 25 explanations, that makes sense that would be one of them. But the problem is, the Ramban points out that whatever your explanation is going to be about the sin of Meimariva, it has to fit with the Pasuk. And the Pasuk is explicit in a certain sense. The Torah tells us, Ya'an lo he'emantem bi lahakdishemi l'chein lo soviyu es hakal hazeh l'aretz Hashem nesati lahem. It was because of a lack of emuna. Not because you got angry, not because you were agitated, not because you lost patience. It says there was a lack of emuna. What does a lack of emuna have to do with the fact that, you know, a person could be a big maimon and he gets angry sometimes? He's an emotional person. He reacts to things sometimes without thinking. So is that a lack of emuna? How do we connect the Rambam's interpretation with the pasuk itself? Furthermore, we're learning Orchot Tzaddikim as we do every summer. And as I mentioned on the first day of the summer, one of the things that I love about Orchot Tzaddikim is that if you really want to work on a midah, you can look at Orchot Tzaddikim and like it focuses you on a midah, meaning a midah at a time. It has a chapter on each midah. So like you can figure out if I want to work on my on my kaas, so I can open up to Shara Kaas and I can work on my kaas. Right? I mean, if I want to work on my anivus, I can open up to Shara Hanava and I can work on my anivus. So you look through all the midos, so you look through the table of contents in Orchot Tzaddikim, and you will find something very surprising. And that is that he's got midos that probably most of us never even heard of before. He's got certain midos in there that we wouldn't even think of as midos that have to be worked on. Like, for example, what we're learning this summer, Shar Hahisnadvus, the gate of magnanimity. Right? Mm-hmm. Meaning we would never even think. No one, you never heard a yeshiva guy saying, like a Shana Aleph guy saying, yeah, in Musar Seder I'm learning magnanimity. You know, like that's what I'm really working on. You know, meaning there are midos that we wouldn't even think to make our top 10 or top 20 list. And yet, you look through Orchot Tzaddikim, you look through the table of contents, and you will not find Shar HaBitachon. doesn't have a Shara Bitachon. He doesn't have a chapter about Bitachon. Bitachon is so fundamental. Right? If you ever learn Chavos HaLevavos, chances are you're only learning it to learn Shara Bitachon, to learn about Bitachon. Bitachon is so critical. How could he not have a Shara Bitachon? And a third question, and this one goes back a little bit, back to Parshas Chayesara. Rashi, quoting from the Chazal, reflect on the life of Sarah Imenu, that all of her 127 years, Kulam Shavim Latova, they were all equally great. There's a Medrash that even goes a step further and says, Kulam Hayu Sas V'Simcha, they were all full of joy, jubilation. It sounds beautiful, right? Think about the life of Sarah Imenu for a moment. Was it really all Tova? Was it really all Sas V'Simcha? What about the 90 years when she didn't have a child? That was Sas V'Simcha? That was all Tova? What about when she finally had a child and then she had to fear for his life because his older brother wanted to kill him? What about her deals with Avimelech and with Paro? What about the fact that she died from fear that her husband had murdered her only son? Right? All of it was Shavim LaTova? How do we even make sense of the words? There was so much heartache in Sarah's life. How is that Kulam Shavim LaTova? So there is a basic principle that the Maharal points out that I want to try to develop a little bit more. The Maharal writes that when a person becomes angry or impatient or agitated, it's a reflection of a lack of emunah. When a person loses their cool, when a person overreacts to stressful situations, there's something missing in emunah bitachon. There's something missing in their basic trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, just to develop this a little bit further, I don't think what the Maharal is saying is that somebody should maintain joy when terribly sad things happen. I don't think he's saying that, you know, someone died, oh, but kol davar rachmanu litzav, so let's party anyway. Right? Meaning, so I'm happy about it. I'm happy that that person is ill because God did it. And if God did it, then it's good, because I know, emunah shleima, that if Hashem did it, then it's good. No, a person is not supposed to react and say, oh, I'm so happy about it. A person should not celebrate a premature tragic death, you know, because kol davar rachmanu litzav, that's callous and it's idiotic. Right, a person should not be happy to be childless for decades because that's obviously what Hashem wants. So that makes me happy. Because that's not the way humans are supposed to be. In fact, we have a halacha that when something bad happens, we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. We don't say Hatova Meitiv. Maybe Lasa Lava will say Hatova Meitiv. That's fine. But in this world, bad things happen, and we appreciate them as bad things. We understand them as bad things, as tragedies. So what does the Maharal mean when he says that it's a lack of bitachon if a person reacts negatively? So notice, he's not talking about how a person feels. He's talking about how a person reacts. Meaning there's a difference between the way that negative things come into us and the way they come out of us. Meaning something bad happens, how we receive it, of course we receive it as bad, we receive it as negative, we receive it as difficult news, as hard. How we express that out to the rest of the world once we've had a chance to process it, once we've had a chance to think about it and to let it hit us, and to think, okay, what does this mean for my life? What does this mean for my avoda? What does this mean for my shlichus in this world? How we then express that out, that's the difference between a Baal Bitachon and someone who's not a Baal Bitachon. When he says that there's a difference, what the Maharal means is that there's a difference between a feeling of disappointment, which is okay, and an expression of rage or impatience or anger, which is not okay. When we express anger, we know that we're not putting our best foot forward, right? Whenever a person expresses anger, they know that that's not their best selves. A Baal Emunah Bitachon doesn't have greater ability to necessarily see good in everything. What he has greater ability, what distinguishes Baal Emunah Bitachon from the rest of us, is that he or she processes their disappointment differently. Instead of disappointment leading to a bad mood and becoming easily agitated, it leads to a sense of comfort in knowing that ultimately we're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's warm embrace, that ultimately this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be, and therefore I'm at peace with that. And there's a certain simcha in that I now know what Hashem wants from me. There's a certain simcha that comes just from knowing what your avoda is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. And if a person processes things in that way, then of course it's terrible. Of course I'm sad about whatever may have happened. But now I know that Hashem wants me to handle this in a certain way. Now I know that what Hashem wants from me. And knowing what Hashem wants from you has a certain, comes with a certain level of comfort and a certain level of simcha. You know, at the beginning of COVID, when people were dying left and right, we were spending a lot of time on the phone with Rav Schechter, working on the tshuvas that he was writing. And at one point, one of the chevra asked Rav Schechter, like, how are you handling all this? How are you, like, dealing with all this terrible news? Everything was coming right to his table, and you know, it was all everyone his age that was getting sick was dying, and it was like how are you dealing with all this? And his answer was a simple chassidus shavart. He said, "Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid." If you just move the comma over a little bit, "Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid." I maintain my equilibrium. Shivisi, I maintain a sense of equilibrium. I maintain a sense of calm because Hashem lenegdi samid, because I have emunah in Hashem. We can process even terrible things with a lot of dignity and avoid becoming irritable when we have a real understanding of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. And based on that, we can answer all the questions we started with. We describe Sara Imenu's life as a life that brought simcha each and every day. That doesn't mean that good things happened to her each and every day. Lots of bad stuff happened to her each and every day. But she processed it with such faith that it all brought her closer to Hashem. And that's happiness. When one feels a sense of Lefnei Hashem, one is besimcha. The Sefer Aruch HaTzadikim doesn't have a chapter dedicated to bitachon, but it does talk about bitachon. It's in a chapter called the Shara Simcha. He writes, "Hamamin b'leiv hashalem," someone who has true emuna, "vaboteach be'ezer atzur," and someone who has bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sameach li'olam, is always besimcha, v'u sovel kol davar, and can tolerate anything. A person who believes can withstand anything and everything with a certain grace. It's been true of Gedolei Olam. They say that Reb Chaim Eizer was a very cheerful person. Study the life of Reb Chaim Eizer. He had one daughter and she predeceased him. And he had the achrayus and the daigos of Klal Yisrael, the entire Klal Yisrael in his head. But he lived a life of simcha, because the Baal Emunah and Bitachon, it's not that good things happen to them, it's not that they see everything that happens as being good, it's that they know how to process it, and therefore it causes them to have a certain sense of kirvas elukim, which by definition is a sense of simcha. You know, I spoke this week in a number of camps, in Hask, and Morasha, and Lavi, and maybe I didn't say it so harshly, but when I spoke about Rashi, I said, like, you know, I'm sure everyone here is happy, but like, where do you think they're happier? Here or Camp Simcha? Here or Hask? Like, where do you think people are actually happier? The campers, let's say, or even the counselors. So I don't know. I would bet that they're certainly not less happy in Simcha and Hask. If you've ever been, they're more happy. But they're certainly not less happy. They're certainly not less happy. They're not complaining about the stupid stuff, you know, that the food isn't whatever, or, you know, things like that. They're certainly not less happy. Why? But terrible things have happened to everybody that's there. Horrible things have happened. Why are they not less happy? Because happiness is not a function of what happens to us. Happiness is a function of how we process what happens to us. The research bears this out. They say that you know, overall happiness has, all the research says that all the overall happiness has very little to do. Short term, maybe, meaning a person can be thrown for a loop, something terrible happens, so it takes them a while to regroup. But once you regroup, regardless of the life experiences, it's more about who we are and how we process things than about what happens to us. Rav Yerucham Olshan Shlita, the Lake of Rashiv, explains that must be how the Rambam understood the Pesukim Meriva. Moshe Rabbeinu's sin was in overreacting, was in losing that equilibrium. Why was he vulnerable to that? Because he was in a bad mood. And being in a bad mood doesn't come in a vacuum. That comes from Ya'an Lohem Antenbi, a lack, as much as we're allowed to say, on his level of emunah. Ragzonus is a lack of emunah. It's a reflection of a lack of emunah. because a Jew has to know, a ma'amin has to know how to process things, how to process that which happens to us, that which happens around us, and ultimately when we process things properly, whatever happens to us, we realize is part of our shlichus, it's part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world to do, and the greater, the more a person recognizes their shlichus in this world, the closer they feel to the Ribbono Shalom, and the closer they feel to the Ribbono Shalom, the greater their level of simcha is. It's an equation that works every time. Closeness to Hashem equals simcha, and a person feels closeness to Hashem when he feels that Hashem is talking to him, and when he feels that he has a direct shlichus from the Ribbono Shalom.